You just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just shit another player. Right, and everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about.
You don't want to be here. There's a specific reason. Not really. You know, I think we did a poor job recruiting. If guys are coming in and immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be. We lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true.
Yeah, you know, right now we have the atmosphere of a JC softball game. You know, I mean, that's what we are, a JC softball team. As long as, you know, it's not whether you win or lose. It's like the team that wins is the one that has the most fun. You know, that crap like that. You know, all this stuff that's contaminated America, where they give every kid a trophy and they don't keep score in Little League anymore.
As we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless football team that nobody in the SEC wants to play.
Now, that's also a second in the West, baby.
Yes, sir.
We're ever getting excited about second. From now on, it's first, okay?
All I want to do is fucking eat. I want you to eat. I want you to eat. I want you to want this shit. Do you want it? Do you want it? Show me.
But you just did it again.
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined today by my cousin Joe, quarantined in Hawaii. What you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. We just go by Jose Quarantino now. So, yeah, I don't know. Everything's good here, working from home. I did have a lot of coffee today. So, normally I'm at like a 4. I'm at a 12. So, let's get this party started.
All righty. Well, speaking of getting the party started, here in Las Vegas, Caesars Palace Sportsbook has debuted their over-under win totals. They got all 14 SEC teams. So let's just start right there, because we are the SEC podcast that likes to touch on all the teams. And we'll start at the very top of the list here. Alabama, no surprise, 10.5 over under for the Crimson Tide for 2020. What's your thoughts on that line? And, you know, I remember a couple weeks ago I kind of predicted these. I set that over under at 11, so I was about a half game off there, but... what's your thoughts on that 10.5 line?
I think it's pretty good. I definitely think we're going to get at least 10 wins for sure. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think...
I wouldn't put any money on that one. Mm. It's close, but yeah.
Well, the challenging thing for them, one thing you got to keep in mind when you're looking at these lines, it's a little confusing because it's not quite what people think, where like you can just bet the over and the under. You can obviously do that, but... there's, you know, specific odds for each one. And so they lean heavily. It's minus 140 for the over. So that means they suspect Alabama's going to win 11 or more games. So that's something to keep in mind. But I got to say, that's one of my favorite bets on the board. I've been preaching it all offseason. Alabama in the under.
Yeah.
That's gonna be one of my favorites. And the main reason, they got to go to LSU. Everyone's thinking... you know, LSU is going to take a big step back. They host Georgia. I think Georgia's going to be really good. Those are two opportunities to potentially lose for Alabama. And then, of course, I know they're getting them at home, but I'm going to keep saying it until it happens. I think Texas A&M, I'm big on them. Those are three games. You're telling me Alabama's got to win two out of the three and beat everyone else. That's why I'm so high on Alabama and the under.
Yeah, no, that and they have Nick Saban. Nick Saban's going through doing sleep studies, make sure everybody's sleeping real well. You know, I think that's real important. He's probably on top of that. I just imagine, like, what do they do? Like, do they take it off at times, or, like, they leave it on all the time? Because if they're, like, looking at it, like, oh, well, I see Waddell here. His heart rate is at 120, and then he immediately fell asleep. That's weird. It's like, I don't know. I just think it's weird. I'd feel real uncomfortable if, like, I was being monitored like that. But then again, if I was a professional athlete or soon to be, I guess that's just a risk you had to take.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next on the docket here, Florida and Georgia, both at 10. I predicted that number to be at 11, so I was off by one game on each of those. But thoughts on those? I mean, clearly, based on these odds, and the next SEC East team, we'll get to them in a minute, but they're all the way down at 7.5. So that kind of gives you an indication of where Caesars Palace Sportsbook has got the SEC race. Florida, Georgia, over under 10 each. Thoughts on those two lines?
I'd have to favor Florida being a little bit more aggressive for the over. But Georgia, I could definitely see them. Do you know what are the odds of them being over and what's the odds of them going under? Is it more favorable to be under?
It is. So the odds to go over plus 105 and the under minus 125. Vegas is predicting them to go over is what they're thinking with Georgia. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, they've dominated Florida here lately. They could potentially lose that at Alabama game. But besides those two, I mean, they're going to be favored in every single game. They may even be favored against Florida.
Yeah. I mean, their defense is going to be amazing. Georgia's a good team, but they're missing – not missing. They have a question mark for me in the quarterback position. So I think until we get a few games in there, I don't know what really to expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for me, once again, the biggest takeaway is just the fact that they think Florida and Georgia are going to run away with it. On record here that I think Florida, I'll be voting them number one as of right now, but – that margin is razor thin. It's not like I'm thinking Georgia sucks and Florida's going to be awesome. I think those teams are – it's going to come down to Jacksonville. It's going to come down to the last possession. I think it's going to be that close.
Yeah, I think so.
Next on the docket here, the team I keep hyping up, which probably means they're going to miss out on a bowl game here, Texas A&M, 9.5. That's what I've been saying. You know, you look at their schedule. It's very easy for the most part till they get to about November. And then when they play LSU at home, they have to go to Alabama. But heading into that stretch, there's an outstanding chance they're 10-0. And if they are, hell, they'll be at the over already. Thoughts on the Aggies? 9.5. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah. No, I definitely think they're going to go over, too. And just imagine when they get – if they are 10-0, the big Mo is going to be on their shoulders, and they're going to be going that game hot.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's another one that I'm really liking this, and I'm particularly liking the over. LSU just a notch behind Texas A&M. The LSU Tigers at 9, over-under at 9. And that's another one of my favorites on the board because, yes, we know they've lost a ton of players. They've lost some coaches. Everyone's going to be penciling them in to take a big step backward. But I'm not saying they're going to win the SEC by any means, but I just think they're going to surprise some people, and I think they're going to beat a team or two that people are looking on the schedule and chalking up as an automatic L for LSU. Because I just think I think we just reached a point where Ed Orgeron's got that thing going where I just don't think it's possible the Tigers take a huge step back next year.
I don't know. I could see them taking a huge step back next year. I love LSU. I love Coach O. You know, I'm a huge fan of Coach O and LSU. Go Tigers. But they're losing a lot more than just players. They're losing, you know, coaching staff. If they all come out swinging, like when a team has a lot of question marks mm-hmm. and everything has to go right for them to maintain that status and be as good as you think that they're going to be, that's usually when they fall short. So I think LSU may fall short of 9.
Yeah, the one thing that's going to kill them, potentially, is if Miles Brennan just isn't very good. I mean, because they don't even have an answer behind him, so they're putting all their stock on him. God forbid, let's hope he stays healthy the whole season because they're not going to have much behind him. But that's my biggest question mark for LSU is just how good he is. But given the fact they're so confident in him and they've been singing his praises for a couple years, I think he's going to be pretty damn solid.
No, they have Shaquille O'Neal as a backup behind them, don't they?
Yeah.
6-14.
Next on the list here, we got Auburn, 8.5. And this is one really could go either way, but I'm leaning more towards the under. And that has a lot to do with Auburn's schedule. It's got a lot to do with all the players they're losing on the defensive side of the ball. And it has a lot to do with the fact they got Chad Morris on their coaching staff. So what are your thoughts, Auburn, 8.5?
Well, I'm right there with you. I'm like, ooh, Chad Morris, I don't know. And dude, he's good at Arkansas. You know, it's a different position and everything. And, you know, I look at his track record. I'm not impressed with Chad Morris at any stage in his career. Mm-hmm. So for him to be so hyped up coming into Auburn, I don't know. I think 8.5 is about right where they're at. I think they're going to win about 8 games. And they have like a couple toss games, but yeah, they're not going to do much better than that, I don't think.
All right, so here's the next. We've went over all these teams. We've yet to get to the third SEC East team. Here it is, Tennessee, 7.5. That is where that number is. And I know everyone that I've shared this with, they're like, my God, we got to jump on Tennessee in the over, which I do agree with. That is the smart play. But the over is set at -160. That is almost the worst odds in this entire thing. The only one that is worse is Auburn. Their over is at -190. But basically, Vegas is begging you to take the over. So it sounds like they're leaning towards Tennessee winning 8 games. And, of course, the Vols have to go to Oklahoma. They host Alabama. They host Florida. And they go to Georgia. So if they lose all 4 of those, not saying that's going to happen, but if they drop all those, they have to win every single game to get this over. So for me, the key is really finding an upset between those 4 elite teams that they're going to play next season. So what do you think about that Tennessee 7.5? Do you think they hit that 8 or more win mark?
I love these over and unders because you can really talk yourself into either side, you know?
Right.
Like, Garantano's playing all year. They're not going to make that up. But if he's not, or if he actually plays, comes out and plays well, keeps those emotions in check, then they can clearly hit the over. You know, like, I think that it's going to be a really good challenge to play Oklahoma. Oklahoma's got a lot of talent coming back, too. They got that amazing quarterback coming in, their takeover quarterback. But, yeah, if I was to pick one or the other, I would definitely think that they're going to go over, definitely, because I'm a homer, and I think they're going to go 15-0 anyway every year. But we'll see.
Yeah, and if you know, one way to look at it, if Harrison Bailey, you know, it seems very unlikely, especially now that there's no spring, that he's going to be the day one starter. But if he were to come in maybe at midseason, you know, after they lose 2 of those 4 marquee I noted, like say Oklahoma and Florida, but then he's, you know, the real deal, then maybe you got added confidence that they can beat an Alabama or Georgia, because I'm not saying Tennessee's at that caliber just yet, but hey, the great equalizer in college football is that quarterback position. And if the defense keeps trending up, Harrison Bailey's the real deal. Tennessee all of a sudden is a very, very scary team.
Right. I think they gave Alabama a really good run for the money last year. I think it's more about coaching, and I think Coach Pruitt's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Until they got that old Garantano goal line. You remember on the old NCAA game, you'd be at the 1 yard line, and if you called that sneak, and for whatever reason, 9 times out of 10, if you hit that dive button, the quarterback would fumble it every damn time. Yeah.
That's why you never hit the dive button. Yeah. That's why you never do that play. You always hand it off to the halfback.
All right, next team on the docket here, Kentucky 7. This is actually, I said Alabama in the under, but Kentucky and the over at 7. I really, really like that one. I think that's probably my favorite one of the entire board here. And, you know, it's the continued disrespect of Kentucky. I love to see it from a betting angle, and that just seems to be more fuel for Mark Stoops and his program there because, I mean, my God, they're winning 8 games with the receiver at quarterback. What are they going to do now with they got about 4 quarterbacks on that roster that can play and 2 of them that I'm very high on. So Kentucky at 7, what are your thoughts on that one?
Oh, yeah, they're sleeping on Kentucky. This is my favorite one by far. I definitely think Kentucky's going to win more in 7 games.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at their non-conference, I mean, my goodness, they're going to have 4 easy wins there. Mississippi State's the cross division. And now I'm not saying Mississippi State's going to be terrible or anything, but it's under a new coach and everything like that. So, and it's at home. So yeah, Kentucky, that's one of my favorite ones. I don't care who the quarterback is. I think Kentucky easily gets over that 7 mark. Now,
and that's the thing too. They're going to have a quarterback this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah, they won 7 games plus last year and they didn't have a quarterback.
The next team on the docket, we just talked about Mississippi State. They're up 6.5 for Mike Leach and the Pirate. His squad the first year there at Mississippi State. And, you know, I really tend to lean with the under, and so does Vegas here. The under is -170, so they're really begging you to take that over. Now, maybe if they had gotten spring practice in, maybe if KJ Costello had got there in the spring and gotten that camp, I think that may have changed my opinion a little bit. But you're talking about a completely different offense. You're talking about a completely different defense in the SEC West. I'm a little hesitant to say Mississippi State's going to go over that 6.5 number. What do you think?
I don't know. This is like, you know, you can always talk yourself either direction, but I'm going to say it's over just because I'm that confident in Mike Leach. I think he's going to come in here and he's going to turn it around. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, that's certainly a possibility. I could look like a damn fool for that one, but I'll explain to you why I'm a little bit down on Mississippi State here in two picks. But before that, we get to, well, actually right here, both at 5.5, South Carolina and Ole Miss, both at that 5.5 number. I believe I got those exactly right. But the reason that I'm thinking Mississippi State a little bit lower is because I got Ole Miss a little bit higher. I think Ole Miss wins the Egg Bowl this year. I like everything you said about Mike Leach is true, but I think you could say the same thing for Lane Kiffin. And I just don't think he's going to be reinventing the wheel, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's obviously going to be an adjustments with new coordinators, but I just don't know if they're going to be changing it up completely there at Ole Miss. And then if you flip over to South Carolina, I mean, that's probably the most interesting one on the board here because they got the talent on defense. They've got touted quarterbacks that have not lived up to the hype just yet, but maybe that was the offense last year. They got an elite running back coming in. They just spent all this money on an offensive coordinator. I mean, South Carolina is one of these teams where I could see them winning like 8 or 9, and then I could see them winning 3 or 4. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't, I don't know what's going to, I'm getting out of the Gamecocks this year.
I know I'm the same way with both these teams, Ole Miss and Carolina. It's just, man, they both have talent, and they both have coaches that are, you know, have been successful other places. And South Carolina is the one that I'm more like, okay, I would probably go the under on that one. And the reason being is just because historically they've fallen short unless they play a Georgia that's sleeping on them. And then it's like, oh, okay, they can't play, you know. So I don't know. It really, really depends on that one. Ole Miss, though, I would favor the over. Just like you said, because Lane Kiffin, I mean, he comes in, he's going to be slanging it, you know. I'm ready for it.
Mm-hmm. And the final thing I've got to say on that one, South Carolina just kind of came to my mind, something that, you know, I kind of hit on all offseason as well. But Will Muschamp and the Gamecocks have just got to win games that they're favored in. You just can't be losing these games like Appalachian State. You know what I mean? Like if you can win all those games you're favored in, getting over should be, you know, it's gonna be a challenge, but it's doable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they're gonna be favored in more than 5 games.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Next on the docket here, Missouri. They are at 5, so just a half game under. And this is another kind of, I don't want to say mystery, because they've retained much of the defensive staff. But how's this offense going to look? Is it going to be clicking on all cylinders year one? Missouri seems like a real question mark, kind of the wild card, as I like to call it, because we don't know what we're getting yet in Eli Drinkwitz. Could be, you know, the higher of the offseason potentially. But that Missouri at 5, that feels right. What do you think?
Man, it's really hard with first-year coaches. I remember when we were looking at Pruitt and Muschamp, when he came in and all those guys, it was like all these expectations were super high. And then when they come in, it was like, oh, 4 wins? Damn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think Drinkwitz, the exception in my head is Leach. And the reason being is because I think his system's super simple, like he says. And I think when he comes in, the expectations are about right where he needs to be. But these other two, like Lane Kiffin, he did pretty outstanding stuff at Tennessee when he came in there initially. But Drinkwitz, he's too big of a question mark for me. So I don't really know how to play this one. Either he's going to come in, he's going to win 7 games, or he's going to probably hit the 5 mark.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, the Tigers do have 5 road games. That's not always the case with these SEC schedules, but they travel to BYU. And that BYU, they'll sneak up on you. They got Tennessee last year, but that's a team that Missouri has the potential to beat. Now, we'll have to see if they can do it in year one under this new coach. Next on the docket here, this has got to be very disappointing, but this is right where we had it. for Arkansas. First-year coach Sam Pittman, 3.5. And, you know, obviously you think SEC teams usually win their non-conference games, but they got Notre Dame. They got a trip to Notre Dame coming up. And then, hell, they haven't won an SEC game in 2 years. So you're really betting here, in my opinion, on whether you think the Razorbacks can win an SEC game this year. I think they can, but I just don't know if I'm ready to bet on it. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I think this is the year. I think they get one.
And there'll be a party in the damn streets if they win the
street. Who do you think it'll be, though? If you were to, like, lean any direction, like, which is the upset? Because you know they're not going to be favored in any of the games.
Mm-hmm. I think if it's going to be one, it's going to be, and this is going to go contradictory to what you said, but Mississippi State, that's kind of the one where I really think Arkansas has a shot, and it has more to do with the fact that they're getting them early in the season. You know, there's not going to be a ton of tape on this offense and defense they're running, and maybe the Mike Leach system is not fully installed there in Starkville. So that's kind of the one I'm thinking. If they don't get one there, maybe the tail end of the season they play Missouri. That could be another option.
Right. That's where I was leaning, Missouri or Tennessee. And I hate to say it, but I know the Vols, if they're favored on a team, they usually sleep on them. Yeah. And that's the homer in me. They play BYU. They can play, what was it, Alabama, Southern, Central. I don't even know their name. But, yeah, it's just games like that are terrifying for a Vol fan.
Right there you go. That's the highs and lows of the Rocky Top life. Cousin Joe says Tennessee's going 15-0. 10 minutes later, he's saying, hey, we could lose to Arkansas.
I don't know. Have you seen their fourth-string quarterback? He's going to come there. Go Tim Tebow on us.
All right, last team on the docket here, Vanderbilt, set at 3. And, man, that's got to be disappointing in, what is it, year 5 here of Derek Mason's era? He's just got to win his non-conference games, and he gets over that. Can the Commodores do it?
I think that's a little high. Oh, I'm so sad for Vanderbilt. No, they're going to win at least 3 games, but they're not going to win any SEC games.
Yeah, and you do get to count Mercer, so that's the opener. That'll be a big indicator. If you can't beat Mercer, you're not going to hit that 3 mark, or you're not going to go over it, I should say. So, yeah, it'll take a week to find out what we really got here. And, you know, hell, they may even get an SEC game. They get Missouri week 2, although it is on the road. But, hell, they beat the Tigers last year, so I'm not ready to rule Vanderbilt out from getting to that 4-win mark until we know what we've got here in Missouri and Eli Drinkwitz.
I don't know. You see Missouri, the feel that I get from them is they're trending up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Almost all the teams that were trending down last year have redirected that trajectory to go up. You know, Ole Miss is – I thought Ole Miss was, like, improving, but slowly. I feel like they're improving quicker now. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State, same. But when you look at Vanderbilt, you're like, those little fellas just keep going down. You know, it's, mm-hmm. they're nothing changed. It's going to continue, unfortunately.
All right, so that's not the only odds we've had this week, because Circa Sports, also based out of Las Vegas, they have released Heisman odds for nearly 400 players and over 50 players from the SEC. Not going to go over all of these because, my God, I don't want to bore everyone to tears, but there's some interesting names on this list. I'll give you one. Arkansas freshman quarterback Malik Hornsby has got the same odds to win the Heisman as Felipe Franks, both at 300-1. I thought that was pretty weird. You know, Jamie Newman for Georgia continues to trend up. I'm not getting that, but he's at 25-1. That's one where, like, I guess a lot of these sports books are seeing a lot from Jamie Newman. Miles Brennan, the LSU quarterback, 50-1. Maybe the best bet. Not saying this guy's going to win it, but the long shot odds, Derek Stingley, 100-1. And how about, I know this is Shane's guy right here, Harrison Bailey, Tennessee true freshman, 300-1. He's got the same odds as Garantano. I don't know if you remember that Feinbaum caller came out and predicted Garantano's going to win the Heisman. I think Shane's probably going to, he's going to call into Feinbaum and he's going to predict Harrison Bailey to win it. Any of these stand out to you? I mean, my God, there's, like I said, there's over 50 to run down here.
No, I guess the one that stands out in the bad way is Mac Jones, 30-1. Mm-hmm. That's a horrible bet. Mac Jones isn't going to win the Heisman. He's the traditional Alabama quarterback, no flash, no flair. He's not even going to be in the talks. I think Najee Harris has a better chance than he does winning the Heisman. Yet they have him lower.
Yeah, it's sticking with Alabama. One guy I would not saying he's gonna win it like Stingley, but one guy that I could see making a huge impact is Jalen Waddell.
Yeah,
75-1. He's gonna return kicks. He's the nation's best receiver in the slot potentially. So I mean, he's gonna be making plays all over the field. That's got to be one to watch. Anyone else here? Kentucky, interestingly, Joey Gatewood and Terry Wilson, both at 200-1. I've had Kentucky fans come at me for saying Joey Gatewood's going to play this year. Hell, he's already got Vegas odds to win it. I think Joey Gatewood could be one to watch. My guy, John Rhys Plumlee, 150-1 at Ole Miss. I may put some money down on that one just for the fact that he's got Kiffin with him now. I think he'll get the most out of him. And then how about this? Mississippi State, Kylin Hill, 75-1. A lot better odds than KJ Costello, 125-1. And they even got Garrett Schrader, 300-1. But that kind of gives you an idea of what they're thinking with the Mississippi State quarterback battle. But we'll be putting out these odds for all these teams in the coming days with some graphics coming out. But just thought fans would appreciate that. We'll put it on the Reddit page as well. But tons and tons of Heisman odds right there out of the SEC, over 50 options. And I think the reason why they have so many last year, believe it or not, Joe Burrow didn't have any odds to win the Heisman Trophy, yet people were betting him, not many, obviously, but some people were betting on him, and they won big. So I think the casinos are like, oh, my God, we can never let that happen again. Let's just list everybody and their damn mother.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I think KJ Costello is a really good bet. He's going to break all the passing records if he wins the starting job for sure at Mississippi State.
One guy, they do have a Mississippi State tight end named Jones who's caught four passes, and he's got odds 500-1 to win the Heisman Trophy.
Let's put him in there, man. Put him in there.
All right, last thing we got on this show, obviously a slower time with SEC news, but hey, we got a mailbag question.
Mailbag.
Listen up, it's time for mail call.
Don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
My turn, what do you got?
Okay, here we go. What color is a fire truck?
Oh, God, I always get these. All right, fire truck. Fire truck. What color are those red fire trucks?
All right, so this comes from Reddit user TheFuzz911. What a great username that is. But Mr. Fuzz has got a question for us. He said, he saw an article on Saturday Down South saying that Tennessee should always beat South Carolina. And that got him pretty damn fired up. So that just kind of gave him the idea that to ask us, going into each season, which SEC teams, more often than not, basically on a consistent basis, I know every year is kind of unique, but what are the programs that every SEC program feels should be an automatic win? And let's break that down in the way that I was kind of going to do this. Like, I'm trying to stick it to teams that are in their division and then their cross division rivals. So we'll start obviously with Alabama. So we're thinking the entire West and then Tennessee. There's really no need to go over all the SEC teams because they don't play them on an annual basis. But starting with Alabama, I think if you're an Alabama fan, your expectation is to win every game. I mean, this is probably the easiest one on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. I think their closest one's going to be, Georgia? I think Georgia's going to be a tough challenge. But, they're expecting to win everything this year again.
Yeah, whether it's at home or away, you know what I mean? Like, that's just the way it is. And then I also thought it would be kind of fun to talk, just briefly about which SEC program is the biggest rival for each of these. So I think it goes without saying that Alabama's biggest rival is Auburn. I don't know if you want any add anything there. Maybe LSU. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
No, I think LSU, you know, of course beat them last year, but I think LSU was like a really, really good team. Auburn beat them too. And I think Auburn was a good team, but they weren't expecting to win that game, whereas LSU was expected to win that game. So when Auburn came in there, did the whole punch shenanigans, I thought it was a really good play call. And yeah, that rivalry just got hotter.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's kick it down to Arkansas. So again, which teams should the Arkansas fan base typically expect to win on an annual basis? And we're keeping this to teams in the division and cross-division rivals. And I know obviously Arkansas has been down, but I think those fans expect every year to beat Missouri. I don't care where the game's played. And then, you know, I'll throw a little aside here. I think they expect to beat, at the very least, the Mississippi schools when those games are at Arkansas. So, you know, Ole Miss at home, Mississippi State at home, they're expecting to win those games. I think the rest of them at this point, you know, you don't have any expectation to win. You're just hoping to win.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. When you made this list initially, I was like, do you mean like right now or like as a program? As a program, I agree that, you know, Missouri and the Mississippi schools and Vanderbilt. But next year, I think the only one you should expect to win is Vanderbilt.
Right. And this was a difficult one for me. Biggest rival, SEC rival for Arkansas. And I mean, I guess, you know, LSU has always been a rival. Texas A&M a little bit as a merge. But I mean, at this point, I guess Ole Miss. And the only reason I'm saying that is because those games have been kind of competitive. But yeah, it's kind of tough right now to pick a rival for Arkansas because they're just getting destroyed.
Right. I'd say Vanderbilt. It's going to be the closest. Yeah. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of passion because Vanderbilt's going to come in with zero SEC wins. By then, Arkansas, it might not have any either. And it's just, wait, they don't play Arkansas, do they?
No.
Never mind. But if they were to play in a non-bowl game, that would be a close call.
All right, let's jump down to Auburn next, where, you know, I think it doesn't matter where the game's played or who they got on their roster. Auburn expects to beat Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. And then really, I think the rest of the schedule, outside of maybe Alabama, if they get them at home, I think they're expecting to beat them. You know, LSU, Georgia, Texas A&M, Alabama. I don't know if you can really say that. I think, you know, I probably would throw Alabama in there just because it's such a heated rivalry. They kind of, whether that's realistic or not, I think Auburn fans expect to win against Alabama at home. So Auburn's a tricky one, also because they're so damn inconsistent. One year they're 12-0, the next they're 4-8. So what are your thoughts on the Auburn fan base and the SEC games they expect to win every year?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. And the list, was it Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State? Their rival is definitely Alabama at the moment. And I think it's just because Gus seems to have Nick Saban's number. You know, like one year he beats him, next year he doesn't. It's like goes back and forth. So I think that causes it to be such a good rival. Doesn't Auburn play in Kentucky next year?
They do. Yeah, they host Kentucky. So
I wouldn't expect to win that. I think everybody's sleeping on Kentucky. I think it's going to be a good game.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously, same as Alabama, Auburn and Alabama, that's got to be the biggest rivals. I know Auburn's got some heated rivalries, particularly LSU, but it's kind of a no-brainer there to go with Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next on the docket here, LSU, games they expect to win every year. This was a tricky one for me because I know LSU's coming off the national championship and fans were probably expecting to win, you know, every game once they saw that team hit the field, but that's not really the question. The question is, you know, consistently, every year, which games does the program expect to win? SEC games. And I think I went this way with it. Auburn and Florida, they expect to beat them at home. I don't think they really expect to beat them on the road. I think it's like bonus if you do, But those are difficult environments to win at. It can be done. It has been done by LSU, but I don't think that's the expectation. And then basically everyone else in the SEC, regardless of where the game is played, with the exception of Alabama, I don't think LSU fans go into the year expecting to beat Alabama, at least not this year. Hell, I know they whipped their ass last year, but they lost 8 in a row before that. So any truthful LSU fan, I think, would tell you they were nervous as hell going into that Alabama game last year.
Yeah, until like the halftime.
Well, yeah.
I think everybody was switching it over to some, I don't know, high school football by then. But no, I don't know. I think LSU, historically, you're right. But if you win the national championship, you got to come out expecting and trying to build a program that's going to win every game. So I think maybe after last year, the new standard is, hey, we're going out to compete and at least put a good foot forward on every team, if not all of them, and win those games.
Now, who would you say is the biggest SEC rival for LSU? Is it Alabama? Is it Auburn? Is it Texas A&M? I think I'm leaning – I know Alabama's been pretty dominant, but I still think it's got to be Alabama.
Yeah, I think the program traditionally it's Alabama, but I know that I watch Texas A&M and LSU play more often because I just want to see another six overtime, some fighting. So, you know,
yeah, that
was such a good game. My God, I've watched it like at least 3 times since then.
That's the rivalry that's emerging, and Texas A&M really needs to win that this upcoming year to keep that thing going. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, next on the docket here, Ole Miss. Which teams do they expect to win every year? I think it's pretty simple. I don't think they give a damn where the game's played. They expect to beat Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas. But I think at this rate, I think that's pretty much the list.
Yeah. Nope, I agree. I looked over this one when you sent me the little clip-its, and I was like, yeah, I can't add anything to that one.
And then, of course, there's no question, the biggest rivalry, Mississippi State for Ole Miss. Hell, that Egg Bowl is going to be heated. I don't care who the coaches are. And if you jump down to Mississippi State, it's the same thing. Their biggest rival, Ole Miss, no question. Which games do Mississippi State fans expect to win? I think it's the same thing. Ole Miss, Arkansas, and then Mississippi State does play Kentucky, and I think that's one, whether it's realistic or not, I think that's one Mississippi State fans expect to win every year. I mean, hell, Dan Mullen owned the Wildcats for the most part, so what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think Kentucky's going to win it, but yeah, I agree that they should go into that game thinking they have a chance to win.
All right, next on the docket here, Texas A&M. Which SEC games should they expect to win? I think it's pretty simple. Arkansas, both Mississippi schools, regardless of where it's played. And then Texas A&M catches South Carolina out of the East every year. You know, Texas A&M is pretty fortunate, I think, that that's their kind of cross-division rival game. They haven't lost to them since they joined the SEC. So I think those are the four schools A&M every year expects to beat. What about you?
Yeah, right now for sure. I think it's going to change, though. We'll see what Lane Kiffin and Leach do and see if that changes who they should be beating. But, yeah, no, it's right there with the other one. I can't add anything to it.
And
I
then
agree.
Biggest rival for Texas A&M? I know it's early. We already hit on it there. LSU, I think that's kind of the obvious answer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, jumping to the SEC East. Florida, which games does that fan base expect to win every year? I think it's everyone in the East. Outside of Georgia, I know they used to expect, maybe they do still expect it, I don't know, but you know, that was one that Urban Meyer and Steve Spurrier and all these coaches, they owned it. So that's one where Florida fans, I don't know how they feel about Georgia. Obviously right now is a damn machine, so got to get over that hump. But the only other game, I think LSU, they expect to win that at home. But again, going to Tiger Stadium, they've won there before. But I don't know if Gator fans really expect that one on an annual basis.
Yeah, maybe not an annual one. But I think that they expect to beat Georgia. I think more so, even if I was a Florida fan, which I'm far from. But I think Dan Mullins is a better coach than Kirby Smart.
Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, the biggest rivalry for both these teams, I think Georgia and Florida. Although, I think you could argue Georgia, there's a budding rivalry, even though they don't even play every year, with Alabama. So let's jump right there to Georgia. Who do you think is the biggest rival for Georgia? Is it Florida? Is it Alabama?
Alabama. Ooh. Whoever wins that game is going to win the SEC.
Oh, Cousin Joe going bold on whatever whatever day it is here.
I know, it's quarantine. They're all the same, bro. I don't even know if it's sunny outside. I got these blackout windows. It's crazy. I'm just kidding. It's definitely sunny out. It's beautiful. I'm just not allowed outside.
I got you. And then, well, I don't want to skip over Georgia, though, for who they expect to beat. I think that's an easy answer. I think they expect to beat everyone on the schedule.
Absolutely. Everybody. And it's a shame they haven't. I think Georgia's had one of the best teams, if not the best team, annually for the last 3 years, and they just keep coming up short. And I'm like, ugh. Mm-hmm. Not that I like Georgia, but I like them a lot better than any of the West teams.
All right, next on the list here, Kentucky. This was an interesting one for me, but here's the teams I think they expect to win every year. Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State. And it's kind of ironic because Mississippi State fans, I think they probably expect to beat Kentucky. Kentucky now expects to beat Mississippi State. But those are my four on the list. And what do you say about that?
Man, all right. I'm a homer, so I like to hide it. But I don't know why Tennessee's not on that list. I think Tennessee has played Kentucky really well, but I don't know why we beat – that's like the game every year. I'm like, maybe we're not that bad, you know? Like, all right, it's an all right season. Four wins, that's cool. Beat Kentucky, but I don't know.
Well, that's why I've got – and this might sound crazy, but Kentucky's biggest SEC rival, I think it's Tennessee at this point. And, I know Kentucky fans would love to consistently beat Florida or Georgia, but it just seems like the one game they get fired up for the most, the one they're desperate to win. Maybe it's because what you're saying there, where so many better Kentucky teams have fallen to not as good Tennessee teams, but biggest rival in the SEC for Kentucky, I think it's Tennessee right now.
Yeah, I agree. It reminds me a lot of the West, like Ole Miss and Mississippi State, mm-hmm. and it's just like that middle tier team, and that like they go to war, you know. And what was it? Kentucky painted the rock last year blue. Like it made all the news in Tennessee. It's like, oh, those guys are going down. Yeah, I definitely agree that that's Kentucky and Tennessee is a really fun rival, and that is Kentucky's number one.
All right, jumping next to Missouri, I think the ones they expect to win, regardless of where the game is, Arkansas and Vanderbilt. And then when they get them at home, I'm thinking they expect to win South Carolina, Kentucky, and Tennessee. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. The same. I don't have anything really to add to that one. Tennessee has not played Missouri very well, so they could even say at home or away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's true. Tennessee seems to – the only time they beat Missouri, it seems like it's on the road. But biggest rival for the Missouri – this was another tough one because they don't – obviously new to the league, and I'm going to piss off the Razorbacks right here because they don't consider this a rivalry. But now that we got Sam Pittman raiding their coaching staff and we've had some, you know, shit talk between the two, I think Arkansas is now Missouri's biggest rival. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, next on the list.
Sorry. Yep.
Next on the list, South Carolina here. This was an interesting one because, you know, they've lost to Kentucky so many damn times in a row, but they did beat them last year, so I'm throwing that back on the list here. South Carolina expects to beat Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. I think they expect to beat Tennessee when they get them at home. What are your thoughts on that?
They shouldn't. No, I agree. South Carolina's one of those sneaky good teams, too. It's just you never know which one's going to show up. I wish they would be a little bit more consistent, and I think they'd be a phenomenal football team.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest rival for South Carolina, I know it's, you know, they beat them last year too, so I think that's kind of sparked it back up. But South Carolina and Georgia, they really hate each other, so that's kind of where I'm going with that. I know those two programs are not on equal footing at this point, but anyone else that stands out to you as South Carolina's biggest SEC rival?
Yeah, I think currently it's Tennessee.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think those two, because I got friends that live in South Carolina. I did some time in the military while I was over there, and those guys talk so much trash about Tennessee. I don't know if it's just because they know I'm a true Tennessee fan, but yeah, it's just nonstop. And I got a buddy that works over there too, and he's a Tennessee fan too, and man, it's just never ending. So I'd have to lean more toward Tennessee being their rival than Did you say Georgia?
Yeah, I think South Carolina, Georgia. That's, I know it's,
yeah.
It's,
it, oh, I don't know though. It,
that's a good one.
It did upset Georgia pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's a rivalry. It's more like if you have like a little sister, Tiff, if you're listening, and she trips you and you fall down that one time. It only happened once, but it never happened again. You know what I mean?
All right, up next, Tennessee. I think, who do they expect to beat? Everyone in the East outside of Florida and Georgia. And then they expect to be competitive when they get those two at home. And biggest rival. That was tough for me because, you want to say Florida, but it's like they don't even show up for those games. And I know Georgia's been a rivalry here and there, but I'm going to go, this may surprise you, I'm going with Alabama based on the fact that Jeremy Pruitt is obviously running Tennessee now, and we got Phillip Fulmer. You know, he's always been a thorn in Alabama's side. We even got Pruitt here calling out Nick Saban and pressers. I think Tennessee, Alabama, I think, it's not a great rivalry at the moment, but I think moving forward it's going to be.
I think it's getting better, yeah. But I'm not leaning toward Kentucky. The only reason is because Fulmer, since he's been associated with the University of Tennessee, has never lost to Kentucky.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
And that's like 40 damn years.
Yeah, that's a long time. He knew Jesus.
All right, last on the list here, Vanderbilt. Who do they expect to beat? Nobody. Sorry, Vanderbilt, but I think
you got to give them Arkansas. Be like, all right, we're going to beat Arkansas.
Well, I think they could. I think that would certainly be a slobber knocker of a game. They did beat Arkansas last time they played. So, yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, but for next year, no one.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. And then biggest SEC rival, I think it's got to be Tennessee. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd go that route.
All right, I'm sure we pissed off just about every damn fan base with some of those comments there. They think they should win every game, I bet. But give us some feedback, maybe on Twitter, on Reddit, or what have you. Let us know what you think about all that. We probably butchered all that, but that's all I got because it's, like I said, obviously slower times. Just trying to bring you guys something to talk about here, SEC related. You got anything before we hop off here, Cousin Joe?
No, not really. I mean, we're all just having fun and we're just enjoying the moment. But, I mean, every team in preseason is like 15-0, baby. You know? Mm-hmm. So to tamper the expectations of the good teams and then try to build up the teams that are a little bit slumming down there, you know? So we're more than likely going to see Georgia and Alabama being juggernauts again. I think Florida's going to be sneaky awesome. I'm just excited. I just hope it works out and we get to watch some football next year.
Absolutely. That's what we're all waiting for. So that's why we keep giving you this content, something to look forward to, something to cling on to normalcy while we can. And if you appreciate this podcast, we're trying to give it to you at least twice a week here during the off season, during these wild times. But, give us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. That really does help the podcast grow and helps us just become better podcast. But I think that's going to do it for this one. And appreciate you hanging out with me here, Cousin Joe. I really appreciate everyone hopping on and listening to the show. We'll catch you on the next one.
Wash your hands. Bye-bye.